All right, will you bow your heads and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you and I thank you. I come to you and request that you fill our hearts today with your truth, that you fill our minds with your goodness, that you lead us into all that we need to know, but also into what we need to do. Father, I'm praying that today we don't just gain knowledge, but we gain you, that we grow closer to you, that we be strengthened in you, that we find hope in you, that we find faith in you, and you would stir up within us a people of faith. Father, this week for a lot of us, it has been heavy. It has been a bunch of mountains that we have had to climb and to continuously give effort in areas where we feel like we are exhausted. But Lord, we find renewal by seeking you. Today is about seeking you, God. It's about seeking the living God who wants to breathe within our souls the breath of life. So give us this life. We love you and we thank you and we honor you. Bring all things to your glory alone. In Jesus Christ's perfect name is who we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Hey, give it up for the worship team if you can for us. One more time leading us in worship. Well, good morning, Christ Church. How we doing? You look good. Oh, man, hoping you feel good. Nice, beautiful, warm day as you can see outside. And hope you're enjoying the sun and everything. Some of y'all looking at me like, I know he's got glasses, but can he see through those? Man, I'm so encouraged to be with you guys. Can we say hello to all of our friends who are watching online as well? Online family. Who is watching with us? Thank you guys for joining in today. If you're just joining us, we are in week two of our sermon series. We started last week. Now, to catch a lot of you guys up, we've been talking about this is the year of trust, right? This is the year of trusting in God, right? There's one thing we need to continue in is in our trust in the Lord. We were rooted in Proverbs chapter 3. That's our passage for the year. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Fear the Lord. Turn from evil. And it will bring refreshment to your body and healing to your... So that's been our theme of this year, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And last week we started about what that looks like, and we've been talking about disciplines this year, right? That's pretty much what we're going to be doing. We're talking about just like disciplines to keep our commitments to God and to God alone. Speaking of discipline, my son, very interesting, he started basketball a few weeks ago, and he had a game yesterday, and he wakes up and he's excited for the game. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. We put a little bit of music on before the game. You know, little Nelly, here comes the boom. Here comes the boom. Y'all don't really want him. I mean, it was just awesome. Here's this little six-year-old getting pumped up for the game. You know, it was funny. He put eyeliner under his eye. I'm like, bro, that's football. This is basketball. Relax, my guy. Relax. But you know, we're getting ready. We're in the car. We're still listening to music. We're getting amped. We're getting pumped. And he's like, Dad, I'm going to be the best player on the floor today. I'm like, you right you will be, son. That's what I'm talking about. I love it. He says to me, Dad, I want to be the best player this year on my team. I'm going to be the best player this year on my team. I don't want to just be good. I want to be the best. And I remember calmly just telling him, hey, son, that's all great. And that's all good. And I know you're six. And I know this is going to go over your head. But greatness doesn't stick unless discipline shows up after desire fades. Right? Greatness doesn't stick unless discipline. Somebody taught me that. I stole that. I said it like it was my own line. And after I said it, my son's like, so can we get donuts after this? You didn't hear one thing I said. That's all right. He went on. He did fine. They won the game. He did well. It was a great day. But when I think about that moment, I think about all of us. We all want to be at our best, right? If that's not you, we got prayer after service. We all want to be our best, whether you're watching online, whether this is your first time here, whether you've been walking with Jesus for a long time, or you're still seeking to understand who Jesus is today. We all want to be at our best, and we all want this to be the best year we can make it as well. And we make commitments, and we set goals, and we write down plans, all of that. But for our commitments and our plans and our goals to actually stick, discipline has to follow. Now, a lot of us, if we can be honest, this word discipline, though it is lovely, it feels very foreign in our lives. It's a lovely term. We love hearing about it. We love watching podcasts about it, listening to podcasts about it, reading books on it, right? Listening to sermons on it, right? But it's something that's very foreign in our lives. We love it because we understand the value of discipline. I mean, think about it. Discipline, it forms our habits, right? And these habits, they form our lives. And there's a lot of discipline that you have to establish this year. But friends, today what we're going to be talking about and what I believe is at the utmost of importance when it comes to discipline, because you got a lot of things you got to be disciplined in, right? You got a lot of things you got to be disciplined in. But if I can tell you, if this is the year of trust for you, if that's your year, if that's you, if you're a person, man, I want to be a year with, I'm trusting in God more, right? I'm being hope-filled, right? Here's one discipline that you cannot overlook, and that's the discipline of being in God's Word. It's the discipline of reading Scripture. Because, friends, I want to go here with you, and I want you to understand this. The discipline of God's Word benefits every part of your life. Doesn't just fill your day, friends. Doesn't just fill the moment. Doesn't just fill that time. It fills your heart, your mind, and it refuels us and reconnects us and recenters us on life's ultimate purpose, loving God and living for God. Right, right. Friends, at the end of the day, right, what we need, this discipline of daily scripture reading, right, leading and allowing our lives to be filled with this ultimate reality and this ultimate truth, friends, it sets up this year, right? There's a lot of things you're not going to follow through on. And it's already, what, January 11th? You probably have already haven't followed through on most of your plans, right? Am I right? You right? December 31st, you're like, I'm determined, right? And then, you know, today you're like, yeah, we're going to try next year. But this is the discipline, friends, that, yeah, we're going to fall on, but we may slip in this area because I get it. We slip when it comes to, you know, pursuing God. Right? We slip in those areas, but it's not just slipping, it's refocusing back on the main thing and refocusing on this ultimate discipline of being in God's Word. As a matter of fact, research backs up the reason why we're doing today and the reason why we're studying the discipline of scripture reading. Because actually, research says this, for people who read their Bible four times a week, right? This would be regularly Bible reading, right? It is tied to a deeper, more flourishing life. What you and I want. A deeper, more flourishing life. As a matter of fact, studies show this, right? The study showed that says, number one, scripture benefits you emotionally, right? Bible reading benefits your emotional health. Right? All right. They've seen this. I'm gonna lay out some numbers, and it might feel a little bit of an overload for a second, but I'm going to lay out some numbers. It says this. People who read their Bible four times a week do this study of over 5,000 people, right? Just to do this small study, that's a small percentage, of over 5,000 people, 81% of them experience lower stress. Now, there's one thing that is very for certain. Not just that you will wake up tomorrow and it's going to be Monday and you got to get ready for work, but one thing is very certain, you're going to have stress this year. You're going to have things that are going to bombard your mind. You're going to have situations that are going to bombard your life, right? And they saw that people who dedicated themselves, who diligently sought God in his word, who read scripture, who tried to apply it to their lives, right? They saw that it decreased stress. This is the next one. It said, when it comes to this study, I'm sorry, another study, it actually says this one was taken with over 200,000 people. 64% of them experienced less loneliness. Less loneliness and anxiety, right? Scripture backs this up, right? It benefits you and I in every way, right? This past week, I when I tell you this was the week from you know what, it was the week from you know what for my family and I. My mother-in-law was intubated. My wife had surgery, and I was admitted to the hospital. Talk about the hardest week of our lives. A week of doctors and test and everything you can imagine. And you talk about stress. You talk about anxiety, not knowing what to expect. And I remember the moment when I was admitted into the hospital. I remember the moment I was admitted, the first thing I told my mom, because you gotta remember, my wife is, she's having surgery literally at the same time I'm being admitted. And I remember telling my mother, go get my Bible. Go get my Bible. Go get the word. I didn't want anything else. I didn't need anything else. Because I know at that moment I was going to be tempted to be stressed, to be overloaded with thoughts, to be overloaded with things that I can't control. But then I remember in those moments, opening up the scriptures to the Psalms, where it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Why should I be afraid? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom should I be afraid of? And I remember those moments. And friends, you and I, that this word was given to us so that you and I may not be consumed so much with life. Because life can be very consuming. Life can be very consuming. So it has benefits on us emotionally. Also, it says, scripture says, has benefits on us spiritually, right? You develop a deeper sense of grit and resilience. You have higher levels of hope, right? Right? The scripture helps you to endure. It helps you to frame life with the sense that God is near and that God cares about you, right? Number three, scripture actually, and I'm going to read this stat, scripture benefits relationally. Bible reading benefits you relationally, right? Another study that was just done, that the other two were done about 10, 12 years ago. This one was recent, of about 2023, when over 500,000 people were going through this process, and it said those who four times a week read the scriptures, engaged in the scriptures, they developed more self-control. They developed more self-control. They had lower risk behaviors. Those who struggled with anger began to fade. Those who struggled with bitterness became to fade. Those who had addictions in their lives, addiction began to fade. Complaining, right? All of that, it began to fade, right? Scripture, friends, what I want to emphasize, and the reason why I read you this stats, not just to overload you just with information, but to help you to understand this is where your formation lies right here. That you would be formed by this great truth, friends, that scripture benefits us in every way. Now, I know what a lot of you are probably thinking. I've never read the Bible before, right? It's been a long time since I've read it. Or I've attempted to read the Bible, and I started reading it, and they started saying names that I can't pronounce. or cities that sound like gibberish, right? And sometimes I'll be reading one thing, and I'll be like, where am I at right now, right? And listen, we've all have been there. Reading the Bible can be very intimidating. And I'm with you on that. It can be very intimidating, right? But we're a church, and we want to help you to commit to this discipline. And we have Thursday nights and many other groups that want to aid you in your walk with God. And one of the ways we walk with God is by studying His Word. It's by studying His Word, right? And I want to go back to 2 Timothy, where we were planted at, and read this and talk about Paul's idea about why scripture reading is of importance. So here it is, 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is Paul writing to a young protege, a young pastor, a young leader by the name of Timothy, and he's trying to encourage Timothy in the faith, in his ministry, in his leadership to continue forward in all that he's doing. And he helps him to be reminded of this very truth that we find in verse 14. Look what he says, verse 14, 2 Timothy chapter 3. But as for you, continue in the things you have learned and have firmly believed, since you know whom you have learned them. From infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for a salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture, now in the Greek, when he says all Scripture, it means all of Scripture is God-breathed. And is useful for instruction, for conviction, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God or those who walk with God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. I want to help frame not just the benefits of Scripture, right, but the origins of it. Look what Paul says in verse 16. He says, all Scripture is God. Breathe. Here's what we need to understand before we approach the Word of God, right? Scripture, the Bible, isn't just to find a good feeling or good advice. It's not inspired ideas or well-written wisdom. It's not motivation to thoughts to live by. It's not a self-help book. It's not just good advice for us. See, here's the thing I need you to understand about Scripture. Scripture didn't begin in human imagination or personal opinion. We're not just reading human thoughts about God. Listen to this. We are hearing God's voice through human hands. Right? We're hearing God's voice through human hands. Right? God is the author of the Scriptures. Right? God uses many different authors in many different times, in many different languages to communicate and to present and to reveal himself. Scripture, Paul says, carries the breath of God. Well, my wife and I, before we had our first child, we had to go to CPR training, right? Which I'm like, that's just scary. Like, I don't want to think about that. But I remember going to CPR training and never had to go through CPR training before. But here I am, the 30-year-old man, you know, going through CPR training if something never happened to our child. And, of course, they just want us to be prepared and all of that. And, you know, it was intimidating. They made us watch a video, right? And then they made us practice on these dolls that were worn out that they need to get new. And it was just weird. But anyway, I remember going through that, right? And I remember just learning, just like I've heard of CPR, but I really didn't know about CPR, right? I really didn't know about the functions of it. You're probably questioning my humanity right now, but that's okay, right? But this idea of CPR is what you do when someone can't breathe on their own. Think about that, right? You administer CPR when someone can't breathe on their own. It's outside breath keeping one's life going. In the same way, Scripture is God giving us breath to live from. In the same way, Scripture is God giving us breath to live from. It's God's breath shaping God's people into His likeness. Paul says that Scripture is divinely inspired. Its origins come from God. And if it's inspired by God, it holds ultimate authority, meaning this: God's word is the standard for our lives. God's word is the standard for our lives, right? Right? And standards determines the outcome of your life, right? A couple things Paul says in this. Paul says all scripture is God-breathed, right? Number one, right? Stick with me. Number one, scripture roots you in truth. Why? Because it points us to the one who is true. It makes God's voice familiar, and familiarity builds intimacy, and intimacy builds trust. Scripture roots you and I in truth. If you think about it, every one of us lives by a truth. We make decisions and build habits and order our lives around what we believe to be true. So the question isn't if you have a truth. The question is, which truth is shaping you? But we live in a society and we live in a culture where we think we create our truth. We invent truth. But let me help explain to each and every one of us as pastorally as I can. We weren't created to invent truth. We were created to live in alignment with what is already true. We weren't created to live from our own truth, right? And create our own truth, right? Because scripture doesn't present a truth as something we create. It presents truth as something revealed. And truth doesn't begin by looking inward, but it begins by looking upward. Because Jesus, listen to this, Jesus never said, create your truth. Live your truth. No, he says, I am the truth. Jesus never says, go find truth. Come up with it. Whatever you feel like is right. No, he says, I am truth. Scripture increases our connection to God and forms us in his truth. Forms us in his truth. Number one, Paul says all scripture is God-breathed. Comes from God, starts from God, right? Right. This is not just thoughts from people. This is God's word. This is God's words being put on pages, right? Number two, scripture makes you wise. Now, there's one thing I know that we all want to be a little bit different this year, and we all can agree, is that we want to make better choices. I heard a big ha. We all want to make healthier choices. Heck, the reason why we are creating the plans that we have been creating is because of the choices that we've been making. Right? We all want to create healthier choices, and we all want to do that more and more in our lives. And I get that, and I affirm that, and I'm with you on that. And God wants that for each and every one of us. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago, that this year is not a year of just not trying to be better, but this is a year where we want to become wiser. Right? This is a year where we want to become wiser. Now, when it comes to wisdom, biblical wisdom isn't just making better choices, right? See, I think sometimes a lot of us, we just think God is always just tied in our actions, right? God is just tied to our behaviors, right? It's a part of it, but it's not solely the only thing that we do, right? Biblical wisdom isn't just about making better choices. It's about staying aligned. Listen to this. Wisdom isn't about making better choices. It's about aligning with what God desires. It's about aligning with God's desires. If you think about it, desires, they set the course of our lives, right? Now, here's the truth. Here's the truth. What we desire versus what God desires sometimes are totally two different things, right? You know what I desire? Brownies. Every day. There's not a time I don't think about. You know who had the best brownies and they closed? Boston Market. Boston Market had the greatest of the greatest brownies. Some of you, you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? They were amazing. You also know who has great brownies? See, this is how much of an addict I am. You know who else has great brownies? Panera Bread. You ever been to Panera Bread? They put the little white powder. I already know what that white powder is. But anyway, you know, that bro's brownies are sent from heaven, okay? They are sent from God himself, right? Those brownies are God-breathed, right? I love brownies, but I know it's a desire of mine. It's just not a healthy desire. Right? If I went to my doctor and they told me, yeah, we looked at your blood level, there's a lot of batter in there. Well, you know, what can I say? I'm a brownie man. I'm a brown man and a brownie man, okay? I do it all. No. Right? They would say, yeah, that's not healthy, right? Right? And think about it. If you and I lived off every desire, matter of fact, I think what makes our life unhealthy is because we act off the wrong desires. And here's the thing. God doesn't just want to change what you do. He wants to change what you want. Right? He wants to create within. And here's the thing about Scripture. It trains our desires. One thing that I've noticed about Scripture is that the way God changes me isn't so much, again, behavior. It's what I want. Right? The other day, my wife and I, even though, you know, we've had a hard week and, you know, we were going back and forth and, you know, and come to find out, I was wrong. And, you know, for the hush, but I was wrong. And, you know, and I remember the desire to, like, not admit I was wrong. Oh, it was strong. You ever had that desire? You know you're wrong, but you're like, I'm going to stand on business right now, okay? I'm going to stand on this solid rock. Listen, I know I'm wrong, but I'm not going to say it, right? Like, that's a desire, the desire to be right, right? And guess what? It got me sleeping in the boy's bedroom. Daddy's sleeping with y'all tonight. Shut up. You sleeping on the floor, right? And that's the reason why, again, I want to encourage Scripture reading. Right? Because God begins to work within the depths of our souls that we may love what God loves. You know what God loves? When we forgive. You know what God loves? When we show mercy. You know what God loves? When we have a gracious and patient heart. Right? See, that's why Paul says Scripture, all Scripture, it makes you and I wise. And the wisdom isn't just about making the right choices. It's learning to desire what God desires. And let's close with this. So we talked about, number one, Scripture, it roots us in truth, right? We already talked about the benefits of it, right, early on. And then we talked about how Scripture, it roots us in truth. We need truth, right? Tired of living by my feelings lately, right? My feelings, they're good for a moment, but they can't be Lord, right? But also Scripture, it makes us wise, right? Healthy, it makes us wise. I need this year to be a year where I become wiser, right? But also number three, Scripture, it reforms you. Scripture reforms you. Look at what Paul says in verse 16. He says this, all Scripture is God-breathed, right, or inspired by God. It is useful or beneficial for instruction, for conviction, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, that means mature, may be complete or mature, fully equipped for every good work. See, here's the thing that we need to understand. When we approach the Bible, when we go into these words, when we turn these pages, this is not just meant for information, but it's also meant for transformation. Not just information, but it's transformation, right? To know God, right? And for God to be at work within us. It reforms our affections, our attentions, and even our actions. What we love, how we think, in what we do. And Paul uses these strong, strong language at instruction and conviction and correction and training and maturing and equipping and all of that. Here's what he's trying to say. What Scripture does as we take the time and as we commit to it and as we follow through on it, even though we don't know what we're reading sometimes, but we're committing to it and we're digging deep every single day as often as we can, not allowing the distractions of the world and of the day and of the moment to get in front of the most important moment, which is meeting God, seeing God, hearing God. Paul says, Scripture, it begins to guard you. It begins to correct you. Right? You know the one thing that I've noticed when I started reading the Bible? I wasn't reading the Bible. The Bible started reading me. Because we don't just study Scripture. Scripture studies us back. It exposes our faults. It exposes our errors, right? And it redirects us, right? And it repositions us. You know what Scripture like? Scripture becomes a mirror. There's one thing that I know you did before you came to work, before you came to church today. You looked in the mirror, didn't you? Of course you did. Ladies, of course you did. You looked in the mirror. Make sure your hair was right, right? Fellas, we just, you know, we got up, threw a hat on, didn't brush our teeth, put a mint, you know, doing a mint and kept going. Oh, is that just me? sorry. Don't come close. But right? You looked in the mirror, make sure you look good, right? Right? Because the mirror, what is the mirror meant to do? The mirror exposes you. So if anything is off, you can correct it. If anything that needs to be touched up, you may touch it up. If you need to change because you saw a stain, you go and change. And in the same way, Scripture is our mirror. It's when, see, God uses Scripture to reveal us, to reveal Himself, which that's the important part, the main part. But the outflow of that is He begins to reveal us. You know, one time I've been reading Scripture, and I came across this language of patience a lot. The Bible talks about patience, and maybe God's trying to say something to me. You know the Scriptures I read a lot about? Being thankful, right? There's probably a reason why it says that, right? Right? It is the mirror that exposes me more and more. At the end of every year, when I worked at other employers, at the end of every year, they always had what they called the year-end review. Your jobs, you may still do it. You may still have it, right? The year-end review, you sit down with your manager, your boss, or whoever it may be, and they tell you about your production, right? They evaluate, you know, and they talk about your measurements, right? Right? Did you meet the goals, right? And I went through a lot of them. And I was unhappy with a lot of my year-end reviews, right? You know, I was hoping for a raise, but instead I got a lecture, right? Anderson, you know, you got a good attitude. You're kind of funny, but you're always late. Shut up. Right? Right, Anderson, you know, you're spontaneous, you know, da-da-da-da-da. You dress very well, but... And I remember allowing those year-end reviews to kind of like dominate my life, and I think they would like motivate my next year, and that was coming up. And can I tell you, friends, the true measure of this year is not about what I accomplish. It's not about what I get done. It's not about how successful I am. But the true measure of this year, that's how much I'm growing in the Lord. That's the true measure. Because I can get a lot done. I can get a lot accomplished. I can grow. We can grow this church. We can fill this parking lot. We can go to 6 services a Sunday. But if I'm not growing in God, I've missed the point. I've actually wasted the year. Because true success is maturing in the Lord. It's maturing in the Lord. And how do we do that, friends? We do that. We do that by approaching his word. Now, I want to encourage you. There are some of you, you already have a good plan. You got a good study plan. You wake up in the morning. You put on your candle. You get your coffee. It's in a dark room. For some reason, people like to read their Bible in a dark room. It's like, turn on the lights, okay? Like, don't be a creeper, all right? You know, right? Turn on the lights. You'll be all right, right? Give me. I may have offended some people. Send Logan an email. Right? Man, stick to your plans. Be rooted in that. For some of us, we need to get started. And you hear this sermon, you're like, I hear you. I just don't know where to start. I'm with you, Pastor. I get it. I know the value. I hear it. I just don't know where to start. And if that's you today, I want to encourage you this. I just want to encourage you one small step. Because there are many steps to follow up this, but one small step. If you're the person today, you're like, man, I really want to get going in my Bible reading, right? The first step is this. Just come and talk to us. Because you're going to hop online, ask ChatGPT, you know, where should I start in the Bible? You know, and then ChatGPT gives you this lecture and this, you know. Anyway, right? Right? Come talk to me. Come talk to Logan. Come talk to Haley. We would love to get you in the get you started right, right? We would love to get you on the right path. We would love to kind of get you. For some of you, you may just need new ways of studying, right? You may need new ways of reading. This is the perfect opportunity to come talk to us. Because, friends, this discipline is of the greatest of disciplines. Why? Because it grows us closer to God. And it blesses who we become eventually. It blesses who we become eventually. And again, I want to encourage you, if you're that person today and you want to dive deeper, you want to know more, come see us and talk to us. We would love to help you out. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you and I thank you. I pray that today, Lord, of all days, Lord, we would just make the first step in saying, Lord, teach me. Lord, help me. Lord, show me. I want to be a better servant. I want to be a better follower. I want to be committed in your ways. I want to be committed in your truth. And Lord, I can't do it just sitting back and doing the same old norm. But God, stir within my heart a fire. Set my heart on fire to follow you, to trust you, to learn from you, to grow in you, to mature in you. Help me, oh God. Lord, help me to have this very, very reality. That the measure of this year is how much you are growing me, how much you are shaping me. The measure of this year isn't about accomplishing anything other than nearness to you. Because that's the greatest blessing. That's the greatest achievement. That is the great success. And Lord, the first step to doing that, and there's many steps, but one of the first steps is being someone who's committed to Scripture. And Lord, even myself, I pray this for myself, that I just wouldn't be someone who would just rest in my knowledge, but I would be like what Paul says, that I would abound in the knowledge and the revelation of who you are more and more. I wouldn't just settle, but I would have an eager heart to grow. God, make us zealous for your word. Make us zealous for your truth. Make us zealous for your voice. To hear the inspired word by the God who wants to speak to us. You are a God who is still speaking today. You want to speak to your sons and daughters. You want them to know your voice, to know the shepherd's voice, so that a stranger's voice, what they hear, they would not follow because they're not familiar with that voice, but they would only follow the true voice, And that is the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. The one who is full of wisdom. The one who Paul reminds us is hidden treasures of wisdom. Bless us, I pray. Help us to make this commitment today. Help this to not be a sermon that we hear, but help this to be the message we respond to. I pray that all these things would bring glory and honor to your Son's name. It's in your Son's perfect name is who we pray. Amen.